Monster Movie Media presents.
Greetings and welcome to episode 57 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I'm the evil queen of the Creepy Kingdom, Roxy Tart, filling in for James H. Carter II. A few months ago, James appeared on the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast, giving them his top 10 creepiest things found at the Universal Orlando Resort. We're going to share that episode with you in its entirety right now. So without further ado, let's begin.
The unofficial Universal Orlando podcast is a member of the Mice Chat Podcast Network. MicePod.com. Now, discover the universe, one theme park at a time.
Greetings, Universal fans. This episode was made possible by Fairy Godmother Travel and the Producers Club. So let's join the gang as we discover more about the Universal Orlando Resort, as well as Universal Studios Hollywood, Japan, and Singapore.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 120 of the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast. I'm Darren, and joining me we have Lee.
Hello.
Hunter.
What's up, everybody?
And special guest James H. Carter II from the Creepy Kingdom podcast. How you doing, James?
I'm great. How's everybody doing over there?
Awesome.
Very
good.
Good.
Waiting to get creeped out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready.
Yep. So James is here to tell us his top 10 creepy things at Universal Orlando Resort. So go ahead and take it away, James.
All right. Let's jump right into this list here. So the task at hand, not only did I had to come up with a list of things that were creepy at Universal Orlando, then I had to, you know, prioritize them.
we should have took bets on what his number one was, because I know what it should be. It'd be interesting to see what it is in the end.
I'm going to guess that you guys probably are not going to guess my number one.
If it isn't Shaggy, the character meet and greet Shaggy, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
We'll see. <Yeah. laughs> We will see. Before we get started, I do have an honorable mention. I call it an honorable mention because I haven't experienced it, so I can't really put it on the list. But I have to say, I'm sure it's creepy, which is, of course, Fear Factor Live.
I've never seen it. Oh.
It's terrifying.
It is.
It's terrifying that it's still there.
Highly disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't leave it off, but I couldn't really, in good conscience, leave it on. So I just wanted to give it an honorable mention.
Yeah, they do consume a bug smoothie during the show, so there you go.
It'll put a hair on your chest. Cockroach smoothie. All right, let's get to the list. So I'm going to go number 10. I decided to go with the Jurassic Park River Adventure.
Okay.
I also want to say, before I even go on with this, that I really don't like this ride at all.
Right.
I find it unpleasant in almost every way, especially physically, as in the last time that I rode it, and it gave me whiplash.
Okay. Never a good thing.
No, it was the only time that I was in any physical pain my whole trip to Orlando, which I was there for a week. So I was like, that's not good. But independent of that, the one thing that did have going for it were, and forgive me for not knowing the names of dinosaurs, but you know, the little guys that squirt you, what kind of dinosaurs are those?
They're the Dilophosaurus, is that right?
That is correct.
Those are the ones that that get Newman in the movie. Newman, I don't know his character's name, but Newman.
Yeah,
from Simon.
Nedry.
Yeah. Oh, Dennis Nedry, yeah.
Yeah, so that part in particular I find very creepy. That is also a part of the studio tour at Universal Hollywood, which I was not prepared for either. They just come up and start squirting you. So
it's a water ride.
No, I meant I wasn't prepared for that to happen when I took the studio tour at the Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. Yeah, so that's part of that as well. I guess they thought, like, that's our golden ticket. We got to just squirt them with people.
But people are expecting Jurassic Park. What should we put on there? Let's squirt them with water. Perfect.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, because they have the ride at Hollywood, but on the studio tour, they threw that in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's in the ride at Hollywood because I refuse to go on it again. So.
It's virtually... Hunter, have you ridden the one out in Hollywood?
Sure have. It's a better ride, too.
Because it's got two extra bits in it. It's got a different... The Jeep sliding down the wall, hasn't it? And you see the T-Rex twice.
Yeah, and also there's just more dinosaur audio animatronics in the attraction as well.
Okay.
Well, next time I go, I'll ride it. Hopefully I won't get whiplash.
Just sue him if you... No, don't say that.
But I don't know. I think just those direct sprayed, especially because you know from the movie that it's kind of harmful when they spray you. I thought that was creepy enough to add to the list.
Yeah.
So moving on to number 9, I'm upset that Tracy isn't here to hear this. Something to say about it, but. I had to put the E.T. Adventure.
Oh, right. Yeah. There you go. There's all better off because that's for me, that's number one.
That's number one. Now, I guess as I continue too, creepy is not necessarily good or bad in my opinion, as I'm sure you might assume.
Yeah.
So I love this attraction. I loved it when I first rode it, when it first opened in Universal Hollywood. And most of my time at Universal has been at Hollywood. I've only been to Orlando a few times. So
okay.
I guess I should reference that. But
you were there very recently, though, weren't you?
Yes, I was there a few weeks ago. But I grew up in California, so I spent my Universal attachment is definitely Hollywood. So
very cool.
But I loved it. I loved it when it opened. And I, even the last time I was in Orlando, I rode it again. And I especially love the beginning, but the end, the E.T.'s planet is pretty creepy. I mean, and just to top it off, when he says your name at the end, that is by far the creepiest part.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what happens because it's not working at the moment, is it? As far as I'm aware, they're redoing the whole voice system on it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's actually what I heard last too, yeah.
Actually, the last time I wrote it, you're right, was in a few months ago in September. Yeah, they didn't say your name, which that was really creepy because he was still moving and, you know.
They stole my voice.
Yeah. And the car's filled with creepy mannequins, I think definitely merited at the beginning of the ride, just, too.
Tracy's comment, Tracy's comment's always, I think there's a little weird E.T. alien with three boobs. At one point in it, and we were just like, we rode it last year going through it. It's just like when you ride it with kids and you see it from their point of view, and you just think, what the hell is this drug induced hallucination that I am riding through at this moment in time? Because it is just bizarre.
Like,
you know what that means, Lee? They confirmed Total Recall is going to take over E.T.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you have the freedom to do whatever you want with the second half of this ride. You can do whatever you want, and this is what they came up with.
Baby, you make me wish I had three hands. Yeah, no.
I don't know if I've spotted the three-boobed alien yet.
Well, there you go. There's a detail to look out for next time.
Next time I will look for that.
I can see it on the list already. It's like, look for the little audiomatronic rabbit. Look for the three-boobed extraterrestrial.
Yeah. We all have our scavenger hunt Easter eggs look for. But even when you go on the queue, it's a little eerie. You really do feel like you're outside.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not going to say this too loud because my girlfriend will kill me, but she is terrified of the queue for E.T.
Really?
Yeah, she runs through it.
It's an eerie vibe in that queue. It really is.
It's a weird forest, yeah. And then you've got like I always forget his name, the head E.T. guy.
Botanicus.
Yeah, Botanicus, yeah. And she is not a fan.
Wow.
So when she hears this later, I love you, I'm sorry.
It's weird as well, though, when you think back to that queue, that like the biggest thing in theme parks now is everybody theming their queues out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been there since that park opened, and it's probably one of the most elaborate themed queues still.
Yeah, very true.
I'm sorry. I don't think that queue was in the Hollywood version. I don't remember it being that.
Is it still at Hollywood?
No, it was replaced by Revenge of the Mummy.
Oh, well, a better replacement.
Yeah.
I guess you don't agree with that then, Hunter.
It's got its moments. I'll give it that. But I love the idea. Hey, kids, you want to ride E.T.? Let's run through Camp Crystal Lake first.
What they should have done. Left the end, like E.T.'s planet at the end of the Revenge of the Mummy. Now, that would have been interesting.
Yes.
Ah, the Magi! What the... The Magi.
Definitely should have went with that. But I have thoughts on Revenge of the Mummy. It's a teaser. That's coming up. So we'll talk about that now. I guess we can move on to the next one here. This whole attraction isn't creepy, but there's a moment that is so creepy that it had to make the list, and that is the Hogwarts Express. When I first wrote it, you know, all I heard about, of course, is, you know, what's out the windows, you know? Oh. And so that's all I knew. And it's like, everything's happening out the window. That's so cool. And when you start going, you know, spoiler, obviously there's gonna be spoilers throughout this whole episode. I'm sorry. But,
I think we've spoiled it all by now.
Yeah. You know, and then there's a whole other show element in the hallway that just blew my mind, how they did that with shadows. And that in general is kind of creepy. Because it really seems like people are walking right outside of out of your car. You know, it doesn't really seem like Hermione is, since that sounds absolutely nothing like it.
That's the real creepy
moment. Yeah, that is definitely the creepy element there.
Come on, Harry. Got to go.
But I wanted
to mention frogs, Harry.
Yeah, it's a 60-year-old chain-smoking woman does remind me.
Oh, they got the Simpsons involved.
Right, yeah. Right. Thelma and
Patty and Selma, yeah.
Yeah, what are you know what I'm talking about? So, no, but the Dementor is what I'm bringing this up for. Because that's kind of intense, you know, especially if you're a Harry Potter fan or if you've seen the films. It's pretty intense when it first happens on the train. And plus, it's a little bait and switch as you're expecting something like that to happen out the window, just like it did in the film. So I was thoroughly impressed with that. I really enjoyed that. And I found, especially where, you know, we're trapped in this little room there and all this crazy stuff's going out there. I mean, you know, they took care of it pretty fast. You know, it wasn't the longest Dementor attack, but still, it was kind of creepy. So,
yeah.
So I wanted to throw that on here.
I cannot comment because I have not ridden it yet.
It's very, very brief, but it's really, really cool. So
let's move on to the next thing, number 7, which is the Classic Monsters Cafe.
Okay.
So, you know, I love the Universal Monsters. I love the franchise. I love the characters. And they're just so poorly underused in the theme parks these days when there's just so much potential. You know, I'm not really throwing King Kong in with the Classic Monsters group. I don't know. Some people might. I know there's, you know, but yeah. So I'm talking about the classic lineup. So this is really the only place to kind of immerse yourself in that. And while the food is horrible and horribly overpriced,
I must admit, I've never even set foot in that place.
You might even call it horrific.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. Definitely horrific. Wow. No, it was, you know, I was, when I first went there, and also, I should probably preface this, my first time going to Universal Orlando was in 2013. Wow. You know, I scoped out, where I wanted to go to eat. And I was like, oh, I definitely want to go there. That's going to be awesome. And, you know, I sat there and, you know, ate that whatever $15 crappy cheeseburger. But I loved being in there. I was like, you know, and now next time I know, I'll just go to, you know, Fast Food Alley and then bring my food over there and eat inside there or something like that.
Oh, that's a good idea. I wonder if they'd stop you bringing food in from another, like, another theme park, like from Springfield, and taking it into one of the other restaurants. I wonder if they'd stop you.
Nah, I don't think so.
You're not gonna do it
because the same person anyway.
Yeah. But I bring. I mean, this isn't a food review here, but I still. I mean, it's kind of hokey in there. You know, it's not scary by any means, especially because it's lined with all these fake photographs of the classic monsters in like places throughout history.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Another really creepy thing they do there is they will show clips of E.T. and other Universal films, but in different languages. Like,
really?
Languages that the smallest percentage of park guests, like Russian. Like there can't be that many Russian people going in. I mean, like, we have to go to Monster's Cafe. You know? So, yeah, that is kind of just creepy and just a little offsetting because, like, when they are doing that, they're blasting it, too. So it's like you're sitting there eating your food. You're surrounded by, all the monster memorabilia. And, yeah, this is E.T. pumping through in Portuguese. Very creepy.
I don't recall that. I guess I wasn't there.
You didn't get there. You didn't get there at the right time in the cycle there.
But lastly, they do have the statue mannequins of the monsters kind of on display behind glass, almost like taxidermy.
Yeah.
As though they killed them and stuffed them and they're on display.
I don't know. What's even weird, I think outside they've got them on top of a stand thing rotating, and the Wolfman's got a slice of pizza, and I think Frankenstein's got like a burger. It's like, really? There's nothing like degrading your classic icons. Yeah,
it's like, hey, it's like they want to make sure that it's the idea is kind of scary. They want to make sure that it's fun for the kids to go in or something. You know, it's like a Chuck E. Cheese, but it's Frankenstein. But they do, of course, have Frankenstein's chair out front.
Yeah.
Which I took a picture in there immediately, and it's become one of my favorite photographs of me as I'm rolling my eyes back. You can't even see my pupils at all. Cool. And I've used it a lot on social media. So, you know, got to give props to them. At least for that, you know, maybe, you know, if whoever's charge of the food at Fast Food Alley and Leaky Cauldron can get in there and make some new food, it would be a pretty awesome place to eat. But,
yeah.
I think they might do something with it being the 25th anniversary next year. I think you might see something in there. And there was rumors for a long time that they were going to change it into a Transformers cafe.
I remember that with the Energon and everything like that.
Yeah.
They're really missing an opportunity if they don't make a menu item and call it a steak for Dracula.
No comment.
Universal, if you're listening, you're welcome.
Yeah,
I will not charge any fees. Just make it happen.
Yeah, and so the steak's just stabbed with a commemorative steak you can take home.
Yeah,
plastic.
Yeah, good deal.
Yeah. Which will make it cost at least $40.
Oh yeah,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
At least
Frankenstein's hot dog made of so many different components.
No, you just put a bolt in either end.
We need to have a little brainstorming session with some food items.
Well, that's it. If you ever get a slice of pizza and it's got hair in it, they'll just say, it's just the Wolfman. Stop complaining.
Sliced off a piece of his skin. Guys, we're only at number 7. Let's keep it. Number 6. I chose Poseidon's Fury. I think that's a pretty creepy experience.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it pretty much the whole thing is pretty creepy. I mean, you know, it's really unique that it's a show, quote unquote, but you're kind of like you're actually walking through it, like you're exploring it and going on the adventure. Where, you know, and you're not in a ride vehicle where I'm safe in here, you know, like to whatever's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that makes you a little uneasy, you know, the first time you go through it, just kind of like what's happening there. And it's in the
even in the queue when you're sitting in the, you know, you're sitting in a cave basically and waiting to go in.
It's like 1,000 degrees in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you got the water tunnel and that last room still blows my mind every time. I still can't figure it out.
I remember standing in there with you last year, Darren, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
It goes splash. From a confined space to the big open room.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And then back again in like 2 seconds. It's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
If they just fix those projections, I mean, it'd still hold up really, really well.
Yeah.
A lot of people still clamoring for the original storyline of it as well.
Yeah.
So what was the original storyline?
I'm not sure, but I know it's changed. And then the idea was that the original room drop at the end, where it was supposed to be, it drops in, so the room you finish in is actually the same as the room that you start in.
Really?
And that room drop's apparently still there. They just don't use it anymore.
Huh. Interesting.
So I've been hearing a lot of rumblings that this ride or attraction is on the chopping block. Have you guys heard anything about that?
They've said that about Lost Continent since the Wizarding World first opened, but
we've been talking about it for 4 years now.
Easily. I'd be disappointed if it goes, because I actually quite like it, and I think it's nice to have something old school in there.
Well, remember, the big rumor was Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, which they won't do, because it's too far away from Hogwarts anyway.
Well, they could do it underground.
Yeah, but you know how JK is. I don't think she'd go for it because it's like way out of Hogsmeade. I can't see it.
Yeah. And it's one of the coolest facades for a attraction in like any theme park.
Yeah, like sure, you think just that area alone out the front of it's massive.
Yep, definitely. Let's continue on with the list at number 5.
Okay, my number 5, I chose The Revenge of the Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
It's that animatronic at the beginning, isn't it?
No, it's the where's my coffee part at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I, like I said recently, my first trip to the Universal Orlando was in 2013. And this is a ride that I didn't really know too much about before I went on. And so I really had really no expectations of it. I knew that it was an indoor coaster. I guess that's about it. But I was blown away when I went on there. Uh-huh. I feel like this is one of the best like theme park attractions like of all time, really, because it just hits so many things that I love about, you know, theme park experiences. I mean, the thrill is great. It's creepy. The fake out at the end was incredible. Uh-huh. It was just, I get it. You know, I just had a big old silly grin when I got off this ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
And every time I do. And what I will bring up, since we brought up briefly, the Universal Hollywood version is not the same ride, I guess, for lack of a better term.
I think it's a creepier ride, though.
It is. It even is, because it has snakes that come down and spit on you.
Okay.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And there's also, Lee and Darren, you know that first room that you're going into before you reach like the audio animatronic with Imhotep and everything like that? Like that verse corridor?
Yeah.
Well, in their version, if I recall correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, James, there's like a whole bunch of mummies and everything in there. So there's like arms reaching through the ceilings and through the wall cracks and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess the major theme difference here is that in Hollywood, it's not like the set of a movie.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
So they just get right to the you know to the mummy stuff. And the actual like coaster element of it is it's a lot shorter, and it's so short that you go through the whole ride and then you just go through the whole ride again backwards.
Yep.
Because they don't have enough track.
Is that true?
Yep. Yeah, you actually go onto the coaster, then you reach the scarab scene, if I recall correctly, and then you do the whole coaster again backwards.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, though.
It sounds awesome, but it's not.
It's a good use of space, though.
I, you know what it was? When I first wrote it, especially since it was different than the Orlando version, I didn't know what to expect, and I really enjoyed it. I wrote it again, and I was like, okay, I get it. You know, so it doesn't have the repeatability as the Orlando version, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the end of that comparison, the Orlando version just everything about it is creepy. I mean, it's a fun thrill ride. To me, when I describe it to people that haven't been, that go to Disney parks, I say, just mix the Haunted Mansion with Space Mountain, and that's what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
It's completely unique as well. Like, how many other rides can you think of that have a fake ending in the middle of it?
Yeah.
None.
None. None at all. So it was like we stopped. I remember we stopped, and I was thinking, I was like, something is really off about this. Like before, I'm not buying it. I'm like, and then you know whatever happens. I'll leave something for people who haven't written it. But but yeah, it was very cool, and I love it. And I think it's super creepy and fun. So
awesome.
So hopping up to number four. I am saying the entire area of Nocturne Alley.
See, I can't comment on this either.
Yeah.
Well, soon enough, you'll be able to comment.
Oh, I can't wait. It's the one area I'm looking forward to more than any other.
This was the announcement of this when they first announced the details of Diagon Alley last January. It blew my head over, my head exploded, I actually recorded an entire episode of Creepy Kingdom of me just speculating what would be in Nocturne Alley. So I was that excited about it. My imagination was a little more than what was there, which is fine. I have a very big imagination. But, once I finally got in there, what I was really hoping for, which is what's not quite like it, but it ends up being similar. I really wanted it to kind of, imitate Harry's experience when he first walks out of Borgin and Burke's.
Yeah.
And just like all these like people are like coming up in his face, and it's just like, And I was hoping that that area would just be flooded with, characters like that.
I'll just keep my fingers crossed that for Halloween Horror Nights at some point that JK relinquishes control a little bit and lets them do it, because that area would be perfect for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably one of the things I speculated about too. I don't recall or not, but just that it's really perfect for it. And it doesn't have to be gory or whatever, but it's still, it is creepy, so it lends itself to it. But
you think now with the projection technology that the theme parks have, and they've used it at Universal before, if they did some sort of projection over Diagon Alley so it looked more like it does in book 6 and 7, and have for Horror Nights, it would be amazing.
Oh yeah, when it's abandoned and stuff, talking about? That'd be cool. But the thing about the existing Diagon Alley that I love, the fake storefronts are amazing. I mean, it's just it's a place where creepy darkness reigns 24 hours a day, 365 a year. Yeah. Borgin and Burke's is a incredible place to be inside of. Especially for someone like me who loves dark, creepy stuff. There's great things to buy in there. They have one complaint. They don't have a Bellatrix Lestrange shirt in male sizes.
I remember you complaining about that on your show.
I've seen it in the world, the wanted Bellatrix Stranger in male sizes. I figured if it's anywhere, it's got to be there, right? But it was not.
Right, well, we'll put a call out now then. If any of our listeners have seen that Bellatrix Lestrange shirt, get in touch with us at emails, podcast@uopodcast.com, and we will pass it on to James.
Yeah. Thank you. 2X. let's go back to the characters, to the team members, to the performers in there. While I was in there, which I spent a lot of time in there, I was taking a lot of video and stuff, and filming, you know, the Enchanted Wanted poster of Bellatrix Lestrange and stuff like that. And I kept noticing team members kind of giving me like the stink eye.
Uh-huh.
Like I shouldn't be doing it. Because I know in general Universal is really against like using video cameras on the attractions. Right. So I was filming the stuff and they weren't stopping me, but they were just kind of like making their presence known, like, you know, and, you know, it was, and I was like, oh man, I'm just stop here. What'd you say?
They're just playing their character, right?
Yeah, we didn't understand that either.
Yeah, you sound a little bit like a robot there, but I think it's about playing their character. Yeah, it wasn't until... I left and I went home and I was thinking about it and all that stuff. I was like, wow, they were actually creeping me out. Like in reality, like we were breaking the pretend, like we're in a fictional theme park.
Yes. Yeah. They had the animated tattoo parlor facade. And when I was sitting there looking in there, and I was looking at it for a while, cause it's one of the coolest like little facades, I think, mm-hmm. in the whole area.
Oh yeah, it is.
A cast member just came up behind me and he was standing there and I don't know for how long, but like when I finally turned around is like, he was like face to face with me and
wow.
he's like, oh, enjoying your stay here. And I'm like, oh God. All right. It was like, he got me better than a lot of the scare actors at Halloween Horror Nights did.
So that's what disappointed me when we came over and did Hogsmeade for the first time. There was no one really in character in like wandering around the area. And like even in the ride and stuff, they weren't really. And they disappointed me a bit, actually. Not even English accents. Most of them were American, I'm thinking. I think the only guy I found was from Carlisle, which is just up the road from us. So I stood and talked to him for a bit.
All right.
That's creepy.
Put that on your list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the only person working in Hogsmeade, which is supposed to be in Scotland. And yeah, there was one person that's actually from England.
Oh, yeah. That's close enough that you could go work there.
I wish. I would quite happily work there, trust me.
But one last note. The actual team members inside of Borgin and Burks I thought were incredible because they actually pulled off the task of being creepy people that work at Borgin and Burks, but being so accommodating and nice and friendly and answering the questions I had, which that's a hard thing to pull off, both those things. You know, they were creepy, but they seemed to really care about what I was saying. It was quite a dynamic. So, you know, kudos to them. Maybe it was just those people. I don't know. But.
No, sir, you cannot buy that. Can I put it in a bag for you?
Yeah. We're like, okay, sure. And they didn't stop. They never stopped me from taking pictures in there. I was going crazy taking pictures of all the stuff in there. So I like them for that as well.
Awesome.
All right, number three. Horror makeup show.
Yes.
This is a real rare treat. And whenever I think about like that this is here, I'm just like, this seems like something that is just going to be gone any day. Like it's just, I don't know how popular it is. It was about half full when I go inside of it. The title itself probably doesn't draw that many people in.
I think that's what we talked about before. I think the fact that it's got horror in the title puts a lot of like families off because like, oh God, horror, can't take the kids in there.
Right.
We took Jade in when she was five. And she went, why is the strawberry sauce coming out of that lady's arm?
Right. I was going to say, when they're that young, I feel like that it's not scary. It's like, as soon as they start, you know, a little bit older than that, then it starts probably scary.
Yeah.
It is surprisingly gory. That I wasn't surprised. I wasn't expected to be as gory as it was. So I guess that's why they leave horror in the title, just to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still more of a comedy show than it is a horror show.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite memories of going in there is at some point they mention Tom Savini. And yeah. I don't know if that happens every show or not. But in case listeners don't know, he's a horror makeup artist. He's most known for Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. And he's made a lot of cameos in other films. He's most notably, in my mind, is in From Dusk Till Dawn.
A sex machine.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he's got the gun in his the belt buckle that's a gun in his crotch. So you might remember that guy.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I think I'm a big fan of his. I think he's cool. So
yeah.
That they mentioned his name during the show. And I instinctively cheered, thinking that that's what everyone would do.
and most people went, who? Yeah.
And of course, I was the only one that cheered. And the guy on stage was like, oh, great, there's one. Thanks.
When we went to see it last year, they completely screwed it up. And the guy who was like called Mark and the other one was called, say, Alan, he called him, like the guy called Mark called the other guy Mark. And they're like, oh, no, hang on, that's me, isn't it? Oh, crap. And they like completely broke down in the middle of it. And I think when that happens, it just makes it better because they just play off it and it's funnier.
Right, you're not following the script so closely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's still going to be there for now, so that's cool.
I hope so. We always said, like, I don't understand why they don't ramp it up a bit more and open it for horror nights.
Yeah, I mean, it should definitely open then.
You would think so. I mean, it's got horror in the title. Why not open it for horror nights? It just seems daft. It's another show to add to the park to take a bit more capacity as well.
And they could actually have a more intense or graphic show during Halloween.
Yeah, because let's be honest, that script hasn't changed since we first went in 2004.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, how close is that, I'm trying to picture it in my head, to Kid Zone? It's right next to it, isn't it? Like the back of Kid Zone goes up to it?
Yeah, no,
it's right next to Olive Gardens.
It's like across the road from Mel's Drive-In, isn't it?
There's one little area.
Cafe La Bamba, and then the Gardens of Allah, and then
Zone. There's stuff separating it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it would space there.
So it wouldn't be like if they redid Kid Zone, I wouldn't be a part of it or something.
No.
All right, so it's safe. We're okay. Because we all know, I mean, no matter what they do, obviously Kid Zone needs an update. Because little kids are not getting that excited about Woody Woodpecker. As much as I loved Woody Woodpecker when I was a kid, it's just.
Does he even come on still? Dragon horror makeup show.
I haven't seen it on the TV for a long time.
Bringing How to Train Your Dragon into the park, that would be incredible. Somewhere they need to do that somewhere. I didn't. That would be cool.
Well, we speculated on last week's show that potentially Burke is on the table.
Yep.
That'd be cool. All right, number two. You guys still have an idea what my number one is?
Well, no, because you took it out at number nine, so I haven't got a clue.
Still got my fingers crossed. Scooby-Doo, man.
All right. Yeah, it could still be.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Okay. I don't think so, but we'll see. My number two is Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey.
No, that was it.
That was it. Close. It was almost number one, but this number I had to do, I chose differently at the last minute. So... So obviously I've mentioned already, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. Obviously I was really excited about Nocturne Alley. So I will say before I even continue talking about this, that this attraction is my number three favorite attraction of all time behind Disneyland's Pirates of the Caribbean and Disneyland's Haunted Mansion. So Obviously hosting a creepy Disney podcast, putting this ride at number three is a real coveted spot.
Especially right up against those two, man.
Yeah. Like I said before, I avoided spoilers for 3 years, and I things leaked through here and there, but overall, I got to experience this all firsthand, and that will definitely go down as one of my favorite experiences in a theme park. The first time I went on that.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning.
Like it is. Yeah, I'm almost at a loss of words. I was so anxious to get on, especially not knowing if I was going to fit in the ride vehicles, because that was a big controversy leading up for the past few years up before it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I tested it before I went on, and on the outside one, and it was still a little tight, but there was no way I wasn't going on it. So I was still anxious the whole time I was in the queue, like, oh my God, is this going to kill me? Or
Think thin thoughts. Come on.
I have that thing where, like, on any rides where they, you know, do the harness over you, where I'll, like, you know, breathe in for a second, which is the worst idea.
Yeah, you have to breathe out.
Yeah. So I made a point not, you know, remember, you know, to do that. But I was anxious. Let's just say that before I went on the ride. So I was already kind of like on edge, and I was just blown away. My ride picture, like, I look like a little kid, like that just went in a candy store. I had like a giddy laugh. My legs were kicked up. I guess that's where you come with the spider. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. And I was like,
it is really intense as well, though. I know from like our two kids that the spider scene is, that was the bit that got them, and it did freak them out. I think, Darren, where was it when we broke down? Were you on it? I know it was when we were on with Eric, it broke down, and apparently Jade was like really freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was near the spiders at that point. She was like getting quite like unnerved by it.
Yeah, it's get me every time too, though.
Two or three times I've broken down was the Whomping Willow. Like right as it's getting ready to crash down on you, it breaks down.
So you on your back?
Yeah, on my back, like sliding up towards the top of it. Like, this is not comfortable at all. One time it was just for a couple of seconds, like really like maybe like 30 seconds. The other time was about 6 minutes, and I felt the blood rush into my head at that point. And I'm like, okay.
Because we closed it out, didn't we? Because you were on with Raymond, and we were on the other one.
Oh, yeah.
And you and Raymond cast...
No audio glitch.
And you and Raymond were casting your own spells.
Yeah.
What's the spell that gets the ride going again?
Right, yeah.
But this ride is just, you know, people criticize it for this fact, but I love it. It's just like everything that has ever tried to kill Harry in your face. Just relentlessly, one thing after the other. Like, it is just like, it's just so incredible. I mean, I try to take being a Harry Potter fan out of it, and that's really hard.
You can't do it.
But I still think it's enjoyable if you don't like Harry Potter, though. I mean, but the fact that I do, you know, experiencing all these things like in your face, and the fact that there's so much practical stuff, because as we, you know, as we talk on and on again, going through Universal today, you deal with a lot of screens, but there's so much practical stuff there, and that it's just. And I don't have a problem with the screens in the ride, because it was the only way to do what they did. And in fact, the sensation of flying and following them is incredible.
I tell you what, Darren was saying there, it broke down, the screens went off, and you don't realize how little movement of that ride vehicle there actually is when, like, the bits when you're swooping across the lake and stuff. You don't realize how little movement there actually is.
Oh, really? Wow.
And it's those screens really do make a big difference, because you think it's kind of like Spider-Man on the bit where you get shot by the anti-gravity cannon and you're being hoisted up. I've done that without those screens on, and you realize again how very little movement it is and how easily your brain's fooled.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's so cool. I think that is a more believable sensation of flying than Soarin', you know, at Epcot.
Yeah, well,
it's more intimate.
Crap.
they're touching it up.
No, it's crap.
You can smell oranges.
Yeah, all the time, from the minute you get on it till the minute you get off it.
True.
No, it smells of oranges in here. But going back onto Forbidden Journey, I think you look at it as well. I think, like, everyone sort of said Gringotts isn't as good as they expected it to be. And I don't think that's necessarily because it's bad. I think it's because Forbidden Journey's that good that people were expecting something to be better. And because it's not, it seems way worse.
Oh, that definitely set a standard that's hard. Because it's unlike anything before it.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's like, you know, and especially not, you know, me not knowing a lot of what was going on there, you know, I would really allow it to be immersed in what was happening instead of, You're like, I'm on a ride. Yay. You know, like, here comes the drop. You know, I was immersed in what was happening.
You've got that whole cue as well that slowly immerses you more and more in that storyline as well. So when you get on the ride, you've been immersed in it for 2 or 3 hours, depending on how long you've queued.
Right, I didn't wait that long. But yeah, no, you're definitely in it.
Well, not wanting to brag, but I got walked to the front of the line by the Hogwarts Express conductor on my first ride. So there you go.
Ooh.
Well, you know, I have been a long time UOP listener, and I know what to do. And as soon as it opens, I know where to go. So
yeah,
that was the first attraction that I went on that day. And so my wait wasn't that long. And then, of course, I went right over to Spider-Man and then came back to Hogsmeade. So I knew how to do it. And I knew where to get my Butterbeer.
It's good that it works.
My girlfriend at the time was very impressed about the butter going into the Hogshead to get the Butterbeer because there was a long line. She's like, I want to get them. I'm like, let's go over here.
There's never a queue in the Hogshead.
Never. She's like, how did you know to get it in here? Like, you know all those podcasts you make fun of me for listening to? Well, they paid off for you this time. But we're just talking about my experience. So let's get to the number one here. Number one. Any final guesses?
The Cat in the Hat.
Well, yeah, it could be.
It was a contender, but it didn't make the list.
I honestly can't think.
All right. I mean, you're not going to guess because it's not an attraction.
Okay. Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I wanted to include Beetlejuice, but it really is nothing creepy about that. Just that's, you know, because it's supposed to be, but it's really just too hokey. But my number one creepy thing at the Universal Orlando Resort is the warning signs on all the attractions. Those are the most horrifying, fear-inducing things I've ever seen in my life.
Don't ride it if you have a heart or lungs.
Yes. they're all like on 10. Like they're never like say like this. Like you would think that every ride there is the most extreme, intense thing that you could ever experience in your life. they cry wolf on a lot of them. You know,
yeah. It's just.
They even have one at Twister. So
yeah,
that goes to show you.
I mean, and the Forbidden Journey one, I have it up. It's so good because. The, you know, fear of heights, fear of spiders, you know, intense, you know, close spaces, dizziness, strobe lights, you know, recent surgery. I'm just like, oh my God. And I mean, after a while, after a while, you see them on every attraction, you stop attention to them. But that one, when I, you know, because that was the first, Forbidden was the first attraction I went on in Universal Orlando. So I was like, man. Like, I'm really in for it here, huh?
You kiss your girlfriend goodbye. It's been nice knowing you, dear.
If I don't come back.
I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. If I get hit by that guy's prosthetic leg, even though we warned him.
That's a real Forbidden Journey. I feel like before we went there, I should have went to the doctor and had a checkup, did a physical or something, like make sure that... You know, my heart and back are in good working order.
You make a joke of that, but it's like, how many people go on these rides who, you aren't necessarily, for all you know, you may have a heart condition.
Sure, yeah.
True, you're not going to know until they carry you off at the other end on a stretcher. Yeah.
And then they're yelling at you, we told you not to go on there. I didn't know.
My doctor's on your ride.
But it was worth it. I love you, Harry.
It's totally worth it. It's totally, you know, it was definitely worth it. Yeah, I would have.
Awesome.
It wasn't, you know, I can't say I felt the same about the Jurassic Park River Adventure. That was not worth it. If Forbidden Journey would have given me whiplash, I wouldn't have complained about it. I'll say that.
You obviously didn't ride Rip Ride Rocket then.
Oh, I did ride that.
Ah!
Oh.
And I find, independent of being able to play music, I don't think that's a good coaster at all.
Same.
Why am I the only one that likes it?
I find it a very unpleasant experience.
Is it the going up 90 degrees that gets you too?
Yeah, that wasn't cool. I wasn't into that. But then the actual ride, I just kept knocking my head around, and that's as far as coasters go. That's like that's a deal breaker for me.
You know, yeah, that's kind of the first rule there.
Yeah. You know,
so, I feel the only one on this show that actually likes that ride.
I think it's cool you can go through buildings and stuff. That's kind of unique.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that lift hill, and then when I heard that story about people getting stuck on that, I was like, that would have put me into therapy. I just found it unpleasant. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to go on it again. Yeah. In fact, when I the first day that I went that time, I only had one day to be at the resort. So I was kind of skipping coasters in general because, I live near Six Flags. I don't know. I just wanted to go on, other stuff.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend wanted to go on it, and I'm just like, whatever. I'll just hop on there. And so, but I probably wouldn't have rode it anyways. But it was amusing playing music. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
You can just put your headphones on. You can do that, I suppose. And pick your own song rather than just the crap that's on there.
Yeah, I chose Limp Bizkit, so that was entertaining.
rolling.
That's what I chose.
I love the Limp Bizkit one though, because there's so many just awkward silent moments where they
profanity edited out. it's glaringly absent. It's awesome.
But then I did Single Rider once, and I ended up next to this guy who picked that song, and he screamed all the lyrics anyways.
Okay.
And that was probably the one good experience I've ever had on that ride.
Sounds incredible, actually.
Yeah.
So, back to my warning list thing. Maybe people won't agree with me or not, but especially from people that are used to going to Disney parks, they're usually pretty particular about what it is that they're giving you a warning about, like really specific. Like on dinosaurs, like dark places and scary dinosaurs. Like they're talking to 4-year-olds, all the signs are. And so you're like, okay, that's going to be in there. But when I saw this warning, I thought this was, going to be like the most like extreme thing I've ever done in my life. Like we're going to go underwater. They're going to throw us around.
You will probably die.
Yeah. We require a waiver at the front of the line.
Yeah, yeah, you decide a waiver.
That's why it tilts backwards so you can bend over and kiss your ass goodbye.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much, James, for coming on.
No, that was awesome.
We definitely enjoyed that. Very cool. We'll have to have you on again. Definitely. Anything you'd like to plug or talk about?
Yes, I would like to plug my podcast. It is called Creepy Kingdom, and it's a podcast about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. And there are some sprinkles of Universal discussed on there, such as when these guys guest hosted an episode of the History of Halloween Horror Nights.
Well, I will take my hat off to your creepy days, because I did it for 10 days leading up to Halloween Horror Nights, and I know how much work I had to put in to do that. And you did it for a whole month.
Yeah. Just to be clear to people that don't know, in October, we release an episode every day leading up to Halloween. And it was really one of the content was amazing. It was an amazing experience to collaborate with other podcasts and stuff like that. But the producing it drove me into insanity. So I'm not sure we'll be doing that again next year. that really pushed me over the edge, guys. So I was really excited when November 1st came. But
it was awesome. I was glad. It was good to be a part of it. We really enjoyed it. It was cool.
It was, and I'm so glad you guys did, because I haven't listened to your podcast for years, and it was like I got my own special podcast, just for me, but it was for my listeners.
and it was like a perfect Hunter classic in there when he said, I actually feel like, what was it? And he got slight anticipation, not anticipation, what was it? He was getting nervous riding Seven Dwarves of Mine Train. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I gave you guys a little bit of opportunity to talk about Disney without, feeling bad about it, because you guys always feel bad about it.
I have to cry myself to sleep every night and take a hot shower.
Like, we're not supposed to talk about Disney.
That sounds like exactly how we do it.
Right. Yeah.
Honey, you're talking about Disney again.
As long as it's in a negative light, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, and also I'd like to, commend your bravery for bringing a Disney podcaster on your show.
Oh, yeah.
No, we've had a few. It's cool.
All right. I know. I mean, that's actually how I discovered your show when you had Leonard Kinsey on.
Okay. That was a while ago.
That's how long I've been listening. So, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
When you were the 100%.
Yeah. Now we're just 50%.
That is 50%. A little officialness going on.
Cool.
But anyways, thank you. Thank you very much. It was awesome. Love to come back and talk about Universal anything.
Cool.
Definitely. And thank you. And for Lee, Hunter, and James, I'm Darren, and this has been the unofficial Universal Orlando podcast.
Well, that wraps up another unofficial Universal Orlando podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. Just search the word UUO Podcast. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review the show. That would be amazing. Not an Apple user? No problem. You can find us on Stitcher at uuopodcast.libsyn.com, as well as many other podcast apps. Head over to our partner site, micechat.com, for even more theme park news, and check out micepod.com. So until next time, be adventurous.
This has been a micepod.com presentation.
Well, it's almost time to end this episode, but before we do, we would like to send a big thank you to everyone who sent in feedback for our one-day creepy tour of Walt Disney World episode. You guys, the response to this has been amazing, and we are so thankful that you all liked it. So if you have any other creepy theme park challenges, or if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or concerns, email us at creepykingdom@gmail.com. To check out our other shows, such as Roxy's World, Eve the Even James Has a Podcast, and the brand new Curvy Cutie Chat, all you have to do is visit monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, your one-stop shop is creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
Keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.